JC Corcoran Podcast.
Joni Mitchell is joining fellow singer-songwriter Neil Young in asking for her music to be removed from Spotify. The musicians are protesting against the streaming service, saying it's spreading misinformation about COVID vaccines.
At Spotify, we may have lost a few great artists, but that doesn't mean you can't still enjoy their music, covered by the bands who haven't left.
A boom, 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 boom.
I want to live with a cinnamon girl. A cinnamon girl.
It's the best of Neil Young and Joni Mitchell, sung by the Cordon Blues.
Hey, old man, take a look at my life.
These guys don't care about COVID or what's true or false. They just want anyone to listen. It's the Joni Mitchell no one asked for.
Boom, boom, boom.
I've looked at life from both sides now.
Boom, boom.
They pay paradise and put up a parking lot.
Guaranteed, these guys will never leave Spotify. We've asked them more than once. Spotify, if anybody else leaves, you're getting covered by this guy.
Hey, hey, my rock and roll will never die. Will never, 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 never die.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Into the 30s in the evening, into the 20s by Saturday morning. Cold on Saturday. We may not hit 40. Sunday morning, 24 degrees, light winds and 42. There'll be some sunshine around this weekend. That's going to help a lot, especially on Sunday with no wind. But yeah, this chilly pattern looks like it's going to stay with us for a while. Maybe even a little light mix mixed in with some raindrops on Monday night into early Tuesday.
No! Cut that out. That was just a test. How you doing, kids? Welcome to the JC Corcoran Podcast for Thursday, November 10th, 2022. 96 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing? All right. I'm sitting here in a fucking hurricane this morning. This thing slammed right into like Jupiter, Florida with the Cardinals play. I remember you, man, and I went down there 1 year. And there had been a hurricane, and you saw all these sort of young trees that were snapped off, and then a lot of trees also had had these, like they had 2x4s built in like a teepee formation, holding these trees up. And again, Jupiter, really just a couple of blocks from the water. Same situation I'm in right now. I'm 1.6 miles the Gulf of Mexico, even though the hurricane is coming from the other direction. It's coming from the east and cutting across and then go into the Gulf of Mexico, probably go into like somewhere around Pensacola. It's moving very, very quickly. That's the good news. So you get the wind and you get the rain. We're getting 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts down here. That will get your attention. It's already blown over all of my plants over on the deck, but it's really not that bad. It's just more of a noticeable weather event down here. The big story, as you just heard, is the weather in the St. Louis area. It is over, folks. It is over. Did you hear that? Temperatures like in the 20s. You wake up on Saturday morning, assuming that you do. And I went to the doctor 2 days ago. I almost canceled the appointment because the vertigo that I'd had for a week had subsided to the point where it was pretty much over. And I figured, I'm just being a pussy here. But I went to the doctor's appointment anyhow. And interestingly, they, discovered that this condition I have, and it's the first time I've ever had vertigo. It's very interesting. And I have friends, including Mike Bush. I talked to Mike last week, and I said, how was your vertigo ever resolved? Because there were a lot of times on the old morning show on 93.7 KSD, the old classic rock station, where Mike did the sports in his shorts from his basement. There were a lot of days he couldn't be on with us, and we didn't really talk about it too much at the time, but it was because he kept having this vertigo. You think to yourself, you're a little bit dizzy, so what? Oh, boy. Get this. Just get this sometime and tell me how your attitude will change. But they did this thing, very interesting, where they took my blood pressure when I was laying down. And then they said, all right, now stand up. And when I stood up, my blood pressure dropped 18 points, which is not good. 20 is in the danger zone, and I was 2 points away from that. So it's back to the doctor today. Interestingly, you've heard these stories about people who go on cruises or who suffer from vertigo, and they have this like little earring thing, like a little clip that goes on the back of your ear or your neck or something like that. And supposedly it works wonders. The doctor that I go to does not believe in it. I might have to switch doctors because this blows. I can't drive, and especially can't drive at night. But you're driving along here, and all of a sudden the room starts spinning, except you ain't a room. So now the world starts spinning. And I have the window open behind me. Can you hear this? Every once in a while, it's like, sounds a little bit like the north wind after a blizzard has gone through in the Midwest. Well, we are apparently living in an era where no matter what happens, it's probably some guy. It's probably one guy, like a 40-year-old guy, civil service job, doesn't make a lot of money, not happy with his job, goes home, sits down at his computer and says, all right, what's the news here today? All right, Mr. Pelosi gets hit in the head with a hammer. All right, let's see how I can fuck with this story. Let's say it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was in his underwear. In his underwear in San Francisco. And a guy comes in. Let's say that he knew the guy. That's good. All right. He knew the guy, and the guy was coming over for a gay lover's tryst in the middle of the night because Nancy was out of town. And, okay, let's go with that. But then later on, he thinks, oh, I got better than that. I just saw the video of the crime scene where you can see the glass outside the window, but the glass is on the outside of the house, not on the inside. So let's say that whoever broke the window from the inside trying to get out. All right. So it's not really a break in, it's a break out. And by the way, Trump picked up on that and delivered it. And also, who was it? There was another talk show guy, but Trump actually talked about the fact that the window looked like it had been broken from the inside out. Well, what do we have to do? Go to Mythbusters? Go ahead, do it at home if you want. No, take a hammer and break a window. The glass doesn't fall to the inside. It does fall to the outside. It's just basic physics. But it just doesn't matter anymore. No matter what happens, within a couple of hours, somebody comes up with an alternative version, and that usually is picked up by Fox News, which is then repeated by Trump, which is how we end up with these wild conspiracy theories. But it's all bullshit. I had a situation the other night where the winning numbers of the lottery were delayed because this is actually I don't know if it's a policy or a law or whatever, but all of the locations, all the states that participate in Powerball have to like register their official totals before the winner can be announced. And 99.9% of the time, all that is done in plenty of time so that by the time they say, all right, the drawing will be at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or whatever, everything is all the states have checked in, everybody's registered, they're ready to go, and there's no delay. Well, as fate would have it, the other night there was a delay. The delay most likely caused by the fact that people are buying lottery tickets like hot dogs on opening day because of the dollar amount, because this is a $2 billion. So they're like, we're running a little behind here because people are buying these things up and we just can't catch up. Okay, fine. We'll delay the drawing until your guys are done. And as soon as they're done, let us know and then we'll do the drawing. Well, of course, we go back to that 40-year-old guy, that civil service guy who's sitting at his computer and he just makes up a story going, the lottery is worth $2 billion. And all of a sudden there's a delay. And all of a sudden, somebody wins after a bunch of days in a row where nobody wins and just turns that into some sort of fucking conspiracy. And it's like, here we go again. And speaking of here we go again, the Georgia Senate thing is going to end up in a runoff. It is going to be in a runoff in early December. And they estimate that somewhere in the vicinity of $200 million is going to be spent on TV spots that will run between now and then. And there's a lot of people sort of scratching their heads and looking at the numbers going, you know what? There's evidence here supporting the idea that campaigns don't even matter that much anymore in certain places because of partisanship. In other words, spend all the money you want doesn't change anybody's mind. If it doesn't change anybody's mind, well, then the whole system of pouring enormous amounts of money into campaigns just doesn't seem to work anymore. But it worked for Ron Johnson and other people. It looked like up in Wisconsin that crackpot was going to lose, and then the Republican Party came in with like some absurd amount of money, and he surged ahead and then won. The other Ron DeSantis in Florida, you know, when he won the governorship a couple of years ago, he squeaked by, just really barely made it. But the party likes him and his donors like him, and he amassed a real wad of cash and won by something like 20 points the other night. So sure looks to me like money still makes a big difference in campaigning. So just watching Laura Hediger's eyes completely light up because she got to do the story about the Country Music Awards ceremony last night. This is the awards season. Don't make fun of Laura Hediger right now. She's being an idiot for two now. And then yesterday we did the story about Jimmy Kimmel, who had a very funny response when they announced that he was going to host the Oscars again. He said they asked everybody good and they all turned it down, so I got the gig. Some outfit in St. Louis, I believe it is the Association of Black Journalists, I'm pretty sure that's what it was, decided to give Kevin Johnson an award a couple of weeks ago. Kevin Johnson, if you don't know, works for the Post-Dispatch. And when the pageant puts out a press release saying a certain act is coming to town performing on Friday, June 10th at 8 o'clock, Kevin sits down at his computer and says, these guys are coming to the pageant at 8 o'clock on Friday, June 10th. That's his job. I'm sure it's more complicated than it seems. Somebody over at Channel 2 said, well, we have a lot of time to fill on our newscasts, especially on Friday. Why not bring him in, sit him down, and let him tell St. Louis every Friday about all the entertainment stuff that is coming into town? Great idea, right? Well, it turns out the writing part isn't as complicated as the talking part. And Kevin has a favorite word. Actually, it's not a word. It's just an expression, I guess you would say, an utterance that he really, really likes to use. So one day, I just hit the recorder, and I recorded his entertainment newscast. Runs about 2-3 minutes, I guess. And I sat there with my bell, and every time Kevin made that utterance, I dinged the bell.
And now, Post-Dispatch music critic, Kevin Johnson.
He's the Post-Dispatch music critic.
Their top country shows. He's with Chris Jansen of Dave Matthews Band. Also at two nights of the coming to Stiefel Theater April 27th. She will be at the pageant. Diamond Rio, R&B singer. Some big things at the Rick Springfield Festival. Young favorites. Country singer. Maren Morris. L. King. Bob Weir. R&B singer. Rapper Moneybagg. Leah. Rapper Wiz Khalifa. Chris D'Elia. Maggie Rose. Another show. And Green Sky. Jazz artist. Liz Cooper. She's one of my. And then finally, there's that new date is. What is a new date?
He's the Post-Dispatch music critic.
Give that man an award. That's not easy to do. Say, that many times in 2 or 3 minutes. I'm a big fan of MeTV. I watch Gomer Pyle, watch Hogan's Heroes, watch Leave It to Beaver. And I especially like Dragnet, especially the 68-69 Dragnets, where Jack Webb was really, really full of himself. People who knew Jack Webb knew that there wasn't much difference between the character that he played on television and what he was like in real life. Tough, law and order guy. Don't mess with the police. And the cops are smarter than you and more wise.
This is the city, Los Angeles, California. For the 3.5 million people who live here, the city is one big shopping center. Retail stores in Los Angeles take in more than $2 million a day. Some products aren't sold so openly. Marijuana is one of them. A bag like this goes for $15. It's called a lid. The finished cigarette is called a joint. It sells on the street from 50 to 75 cents. The seller claims it's heaven. The buyer soon finds out it's hell. It's a closed contract until we find out. Then I go to work. I carry a badge.
Wow, that sounds like pretty bad stuff. The marijuana back in the 60s must have been a lot worse than the stuff we have now, right?
What's that, sir?
Drugs, narcotics, the whole dirty business. How do you associate that with a Phi Beta Kappa key?
What do you mean, Mr. Porter?
My daughter. She was an honor graduate from college. Magna cum laude in English literature. And now, well, as I told Captain Tremblay, she practically brags about smoking marijuana.
How old is she?
22. Certainly old enough to know better.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no.
Now, what is this all about?
We have a report you and your husband have been smoking marijuana.
Legal doesn't make it morally wrong. Besides, it's certainly better for you than liquor.
You know, we've heard a lot of people claim that marijuana is harmless. Professors, doctors, even some ministers. Now, maybe they know something that we don't. All we have to go on is the record.
You tell her, Jack. You tell her!
We know that practically every kid we pick up on LSD has marijuana in his pocket. We know that we arrest more than 14,000 addicts a year. They're on heroin, cocaine, methadrine, pills, you name it, and they're using it. And they all have one thing in common. They began with marijuana.
Jack, come here. I don't want to bust up your rant here, but didn't they all start with beer?
You're claiming that smoking marijuana automatically makes you a drug addict. I offer myself as proof you're wrong.
No, lady, we don't claim that every person who smokes marijuana becomes an addict, but we do know one thing for sure. No addict ever got there in one big step. They had to begin somewhere, and they all began with marijuana.
Jack, psst, come here. No, I just told you. They all started with beer.
Isn't it about time you grew up?
Here we go, lecture number 131A.
No, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I don't have the time. I'm just going to lay it out for you straight. Now, you listen to me. You chippy around with marijuana long enough, and you're going to buy yourself a lot of grief. After a while, marijuana won't be enough. You'll start looking for a bigger kick, and then a bigger one after that. And all of this is going to go down the tubes. Your job, your house, car, family, everything. We've seen it happen before. And not just to the neurotics and psychotics that wife of yours talks about, but to nice, clean-cut kids from good families with good educations. They start out just like you, and they end up mainliners, shooting it in their arms. And they end up dead, or wishing they were.
Maybe.
Look, everybody says no, not me. I'll never get hooked. They say it right up to the day they start climbing the walls, and they began saying just what you are now. There's nothing wrong with marijuana. Well, there's nothing wrong with a gun either until you pull the trigger.
Hey, dude, he's got you there, man.
You can't even buy this stuff without getting dirty. Think about the guy you bought it from. You think he has a wife, a nice child, a home? No junkies do. They spend most of their time sick or in jail. Don't you take my word for it. Just take a look at the guy you bought from. And look hard, fella, because you're looking right in the mirror.
I'm looking right in the mirror? I'm going back to high school?
Now, that's how you want it. There's nothing we can do about it right now. Next time it may be different. And you believe me, boy, there'll be a next time.
And by the way, in the story, they have a little girl who's about, like, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years old. And they're all having a party one night, and the baby drowns in the bathtub because everybody was high. We all know that a more likely episode would be the baby would just have, like, an unmonitored overdose of chocolate chip cookies. But, you know, it was the 60s. Oh, this is pretty important. And again, this is kind of news story that has been pushed to the back or not pushed at all, not even done, because everything has been about the election. Now the election's over. And these stories, the kind that we really need to hear more frequently, are starting to move towards the forefront again. Here's an NBC News story the other night. And we've heard rumblings about this for the last couple of years. And all you have to do is pick up a bag of potato chips at the 7-Eleven. You can tell there's hardly any fucking potato chips in the bag. It's mostly air. And then the manufacturer is like, oh, no, that's gas. Actually, that's a gas to preserve the freshness of your potato chips. And you're like, dude, the thing used to weigh like 6 ounces and now it weighs 2.
There's another side to inflation at the grocery store. Companies trying to save money by switching out high-priced ingredients in your favorite foods. Here's Savannah Sellers with how to spot the changes and what you can do about it.
There may be a surprise waiting for you at the grocery store. Some companies are substituting ingredients in their products, often with cheaper ones. It's called skimpflation, and it's stopping shoppers in their tracks.
Yeah, it seems unfair.
It's so hard to stay up to date on exactly what's going into your food. An anonymous survey of 300 large food and beverage brands showed that nearly two-thirds of them reformulated at least 6 recipes, 90% of them citing higher ingredient prices.
Often water can be added, and we also see basically a shifting to what are less expensive ingredients, from sugar to high fructose corn syrup.
Take a look at these two packages of Smart Balance margarine. Look at the front.
They look identical, same weight. Oh, I see it in very fine print.
In the bottom left-hand corner, this one says it's 64% vegetable oil. This one says it's 39% vegetable oil.
And it's leaving customers with a poor taste in their mouths. Some writing, how to destroy a great product. New formula is not an improvement, and just simply gross. TV dinner favorites, Hungry Man's double chicken bowls, also getting a redo.
The old package said 39 grams of protein. The new package says 33 grams of protein. That's a 15% reduction.
But spotting the changes can be challenging.
Is there less chicken in it? Mm. Is there less cheese in it?
Hungry Man's parent company, Conagra, has not responded to NBC's request for comment. Some companies are doing away with ingredients altogether. In 2018, Whole Foods Organic Honey and Nut Morning O's contained real organic almonds. Now, they've completely eliminated them from the cereal product. Whole Foods telling NBC News they reformulate their products for a number of reasons, from new suppliers to availability to feedback on taste or texture. Less than 10% of people actually read ingredient labels, but experts say it's time to take things into your own hands.
You could certainly try to contact the company themselves, and certainly if you let them know that a change was made that they're unhappy with, they take it very seriously.
Case in point, the butter spread backlash. Smart Balance's parent company Conagra is now reversing course, telling NBC News, "We made changes to some Smart Balance products to make them easier to spread. We have heard the feedback from consumers and have decided to return to the previous recipes in the coming months." Because there's only one recipe in business, keeping the customer happy. Savannah Sellers, NBC News, Somerville, Massachusetts.
Well, it was on this date in 1986 that the first of 5 parts aired on Channel 5's 10 o'clock news, with me out in California talking to Pat and Vanna and the gang from Wheel of Fortune. I had unlimited access, and it was really cool, to be honest with you. There were 44 million people a day watching Wheel of Fortune back in those days, and people were fascinated by Pat and especially Vanna. We had developed a little relationship with Vanna. She'd come into St. Louis a couple of times. We had her on the show, had her on TV, all this sort of stuff, and it was a pretty big deal. And I got 5 slots on the 10 o'clock news on 5 consecutive nights on Channel 5 Behind the Wheel. On this date, 1984, one of the greatest memories of my life in a concert hall took place, and I only saw 2 songs. Here's what happened. It was a Friday night back in 1984, and I had just broken up with my girlfriend. And it was like a scene from a bad movie. The weather was awful. It was cold, a little drizzly, a little foggy. And I'm just wandering the streets of downtown St. Louis, which is a really dumb thing to do. It'd be even dumber now, but it was even dumb back in 1984. I'm just roaming the streets. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm thinking, how do I get this girl back? Man, I think I stopped in somewhere for a beer and was just scratching my head, going, this ain't doing any good. We go walk some more. I'm walking some more. And then I realized, oh, that's right. She and I were supposed to go to this concert at the American Theater with The Fix. And I look at my watch. I'm like, the concert's probably almost over. I'll go and I'll catch the last couple of songs. And I just stood in the back and watched The Fix do the last 2 songs, the very last of which was Red Skies. And I am telling you, the crowd was so into it. The band was into it. both sides were feeding off one another. They actually turned up the house lights. Now, that may have been for effect. It also may have been the concert hall basically saying, you guys got to get out of here. I mean, for example, we've talked about the situation in Maryland Heights where bands have been fined. I think it's $1,000 a minute for every minute they go over the curfew, which is 11 o'clock. There was some country act that went to like 20 after 11, and they were literally fined thousands and thousands of dollars. Part of the deal out there. And I think the city had an ordinance back there too. But anyhow, I digress. But everybody is just totally into this. The house lights are up. Everybody can see one another. And it was one of the greatest finales I have ever seen in a concert. The Fix all the way back to 1984 at the American Theater. And I just remember many, many years later, I had an opportunity to interview Cy Kernan, who is the lead sort of front man for The Fix, and he remembered it. He remembered it vividly. So it wasn't just me who has the memory of that whole thing. Jennifer Aniston revealed she tried to get pregnant in her late 30s, early 40s. She did just about everything except freeze her eggs, and now she says the ship has sailed. 45-year-old John Mayer spotted having dinner with a 22-year-old Kiernan Shipka in Santa Monica. After they ate, they left in separate cars, but a block away from the restaurant. They stopped, and the chick got into John's vehicle. Whoops! Sources say some Saturday Night Live writers are boycotting this week's show because Dave Chappelle is hosting. Dave's rep says, there's nothing to that. Springsteen going to take over the Tonight Show for four episodes. He's going to be the guest and the performer on the Monday, the 14th. Was this December, I guess? Oh, no, no, this is next week. This is all right, so Monday, and then the following 2 days, and then on the Thanksgiving Day episode as well. Thursday Night Football tonight, Carolina hosting Atlanta. Falling for Christmas on Netflix, a holiday movie starring Lindsay Lohan. That is tonight, if you're in the mood. Late night tonight, Will Ferrell and Lindsay Lohan on with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel's got Lizzie Kaplan. I dig her. Emily Blunt on with Colbert. Tracy Morgan on with Seth Meyers. Trevor Noah's got Jordan Peele. There is a new musical, one of those stop motion things. Geez, you got to be patient to do that. Guillermo del Toro is doing the whole thing. It is called Pinocchio, and it hits Netflix on December 9th. The trailer is up if you want to look at that. Sammy Hagar said a shelved Van Halen song that was originally made for the movie Twister, but never did get released, may soon be released. And it was 55 years ago today, 1967, the Moody Blues released Nights in White Satin. Breathe deep the gathering gloom. Watch lights fade from every room. I just turned Justin Hayward into an Australian. I got to work on my accents. First episode of Sesame Street on this date in 69. That was 53 years ago. I vividly recall this date 40 years ago, 1982. I had been working at DC 101 in Washington with Howard Stern, and he had already left for WNBC, and I was getting ready to move to Buffalo, and it was the last weekend that I was going to be in Washington, D.C., and I had never gone to do the monuments. I had never gone to see all the monuments because I sort of hit the ground running when I took that job, and I was working basically 7 days a week, so I went, you know, just sort of roaming around, just took the whole day, went up to the top of the Washington Monument, just roaming around. They were filming a scene for the Meryl Streep Cher movie, Silkwood, about Karen Silkwood, that woman who worked for Kerr McGee and was really harassed and eventually, well, they think run off the road purposely. And there was a scene in the movie where they all go to Washington, D.C., and they were actually shooting that scene. So I saw Cher, and I saw Meryl Streep. That's pretty exciting. But as I was walking around, like, where are all these people coming from? Jeez. And all these guys in army fatigues. Well, it turned out it was the opening of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the wall. And I had not been paying attention, so I didn't know that was what was going on. There was like 40,000 people roaming the mall there in Washington, D.C. It was 40 years ago today. And John Wayne Babbitt, acquitted of a marital sexual assault charge after his lovely Lorena chopped off his thingy, as my mother would have said. First iPod went on sale on this date in 2001. More than 400 million of them were sold. Birthdays today, Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy, 53. Miranda Lambert, 39. Tracy Morgan, 54. Mackenzie Phillips from One Day at a Time, 63. Sinbad, 66. A new report suggests that beer could be the key to preventing Alzheimer's. Well, see, I'm screwed. I drink Bud Light.
Come on, everybody.
And like we said, the situation down in Georgia is going to end in a runoff, which is, I think, giving the advantage to Herschel Walker, because if anybody is an expert at running off, it's Herschel. And with that, the Thursday, November 10th, 2022 episode of the J.C. Corcoran podcast here at J.C. on the Line is in the can. 96 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. We are here every weekday morning right about this time. Please spread the word if you can. I'm available at email, jc@jconline.com, Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Enjoy the last day of warm weather, because you don't want to know after that. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.